morning to all. I hope this day finds each of the listeners encouraged to press on for the Lord. And surely I can say that we're happy to be in the work of the Lord and so glad to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. Listen to the scripture from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now that's down through verse 7 of the 3rd chapter of Colossians. I tell you, dear one, this living for God is an important thing, and he's concerned about the things we do and think and say. So let us give good heed to the scripture, and let us live with our affection on things above, not on things on the world. Oh, for men and women of God who will look above with the eye of faith to the things of God and realize how unimportant are the things of this life. They're just momentarily ours, and we're here just for a few days, and then we pass on. As the scripture in James tells us, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And so it is. We need to have our affections upon things above, such as this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:1. This would be a comfort, and is a comfort. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is, if our body, if our earthly physical being goes back to dust, as it will if we continue here and the Lord doesn't come, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. But going on, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Oh, for the comfort and the consolation that comes from godly living. Listen, consolation. I love to think there is a home of rest beyond this world of care, a land where tears are wiped away and sorrow never enters there. And with an eye of faith, I see a mansion bright prepared for me. I love to think when tempted sore and storms of persecution rise, that Jesus trod the way before. He sees my tears and hears my sighs. 'Tis then by faith on him I call, who heedeth even the sparrows fall. I love to read his precious word, so full of counsel, truth, and love. Its promises are stepping stones, leading from earth to heaven above. Lord, keep me in the narrow way, and help me humbly watch and pray. Oh, may our lives to others prove that we're the Lord's by heavenly birth. May we strive in love to make his name a lasting praise on earth. May we be worthy of that home with Christ around the Father's throne. Oh, how we need to watch and pray. How we need to keep our affections upon eternal things and realize that the things of this life are just momentarily given to us, and they're fleeting and passing on. We're passing on, dear ones. And so let us, even though live in the world, not be of the world. I'm so impressed with this account of Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress Christians. and his companion Faithful. Let me quote just a little here. It's so typical of our lives in this world. Then I saw in my dream that when they were got out of the wilderness, they presently saw a town before them, and the name of that town is Vanity. And at the town there is a fair kept called Vanity Fair. It is kept all the year long. It beareth the name of Vanity Fair because the town where it is kept is lighter than vanity, and also because all that is there sold or that cometh thither is vanity. As is the saying of the wise, all that cometh is vanity. This fair is no new erected business, but a thing of ancient standing. Therefore, at this fair are all such merchandise sold as houses, lands, trades, places, honors, preferments, titles, countries, kingdoms, lust, pleasure, and delights of all sorts, as whores, bawds, wives, husbands, children, masters, servants, lives, blood, bodies, souls, silver, gold, pearls, precious stones, and whatnot. Now, stopping for just a moment to explain that this gives in detail some of the things that are carried on in this world after the lust of the flesh, because people do not have their affections on things which are above. Now, back to the quotation. And moreover, at this fair, there are at all times to be seen juggling, cheats, games, plays, fools, apes, knaves, and rogues, and that of every kind. I tell you, that's something, isn't it? Some description there that John Bunyan have giving of Vanity Fair, and yet how true it is. Now, back just a little more. Now, as I said, the way to the celestial city lies just through this town where this lusty fair is kept. And he that would go to the city and yet not go through this town must needs go out of the world. The Prince of Princes himself, when he went through this town to his own country, and that upon a fair day too. Yea, and as I think, it was Beelzebub, the chief lord of this fair, that invited him to buy of his vanities. Yea, would have made him lord of the fair, would he but have done him reverence as he went through the town. Yea, because he was such a person of honor, Beelzebub had him from street to street, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a little time, that he might, if possible, allure that blessed one to cheapen and buy some of his vanities. But he had no mind to the merchandise, and therefore left the town without laying out so much as one farthing upon these vanities. This fair, therefore, is an ancient thing of long standing, and a very great fair. Now these pilgrims, as I said, must needs go through this fair. Well, so they did. But behold, even as they entered into the fair, all the people in the fair were moved in the town itself, as it were, in a hubbub about them, and that for several reasons. For, first, the pilgrims were clothed with such kind of raiment as was diverse from the raiment of any that traded in that fair. The people, therefore, of the fair made a great gazing upon them. Some said they were fools, some they were bedlam, and some they were outlandish men. Secondly, and as they wondered at their apparel, so they did likewise at their speech. But few could understand what they said. They naturally spoke the language of Canaan, but they that kept the fair were the men of this world, so that from one end of the fair to the other they seemed barbarians each to the other. Thirdly, but that which did not a little amuse the merchandisers was that these pilgrims sat very light by all their wares. They cared not so much as to look upon them, and if they called upon them to buy, they would put their fingers in their ears and cry, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity," and look upwards, signifying that their trade and traffic were in heaven. One chance, mockingly beholding the carriage of the men, to say unto them, "What will you buy?" But they, looking gravely upon him, said, "We buy the truth." At that, there was an occasion taken to despising men the more, some mocking, some taunting, some speaking reproachfully, and some calling on others to smite them. End of quote from John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I tell you, friends, that's so typical of conditions that are existing in the world today. I noticed there in mention about how they stop their ears or close their eyes or whatever there. Well, isn't that true? There are so many things going on in the world today. If we would be a child of God, we'll need to turn our eyes and look away and move onward. There are so many things displayed in the modern methods of the world today. For instance, television, murders, killings, and all such like that go on over those things. It's not fit for people to see who are saints of God, who are called by the name of the Lord. Dear ones, if we would live for eternal value, we must run this race with patience, ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't let us keep our hearts, our affections, upon things which are eternal. Now, we realize that Moses had some problems when he was thought that the Lord would have him help out his brethren there in Egypt. But the time came that Moses learned his lesson. And it is said by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Our Father, bless the message this day to the good of every heart, and help us, O Lord, to keep our affections upon things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Bless each listener this day, and we'll surely give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we may be of some help to you in a spiritual way, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.